In his news conference last night, President Bush laid out his views on Iraq, terrorism, and the 9/11 investigation. Given the major news developments of recent weeks, we thought it would be informative to talk with some Americans about what's on their minds, from local issues to the national and international dramas. Today, NPR's John Idsty has the first of three reports from Missouri.
Just up Grand Boulevard from St. Louis University, a little coffee house shares a storefront with something called the Common Space. Its founders describe it as a community living room, a place for group meetings and informal gatherings of neighbors and friends.
We're the land of donated couches. Whenever anyone wants to donate a couch, they think of the Common Space.
What the seven people sitting on these well-worn couches have in common is a vision for revitalizing this city. Most grew up here. They're dismayed that St. Louis has been losing population since the mid-1950s, as people have moved to the counties west of the city. They want to reverse that flow. The news of the world does matter to them, but issues close to home are more important, says Brian Marston, who heads the nonprofit organization that created the Common Space.
You know, one of the things I think about is sort of public life and life in the public realm and how that's changing as people move farther and farther out of the city to the suburbs and the exurbs and sort of lock themselves in these giant SUVs and drive out to, you know, these big homes where they disappear into the garage, never to see their neighbors until the next day when they emerge again. It's not just that a lot of people don't care about their neighbors, it seems like they're actually afraid of them now. And we're trying to get people together to learn about what they share in common to build a stronger community.
While these friends have similar visions for revitalizing St. Louis, they have real differences on national and international issues. Dave Drebus, who publishes a small bi-monthly newspaper, supports the war in Iraq, unlike most of his colleagues.
I imagine it as a 30-year-old who's my age, who has lived their life under tyranny, under an inability to practice religion as they want, as an inability to put out paper like I do here, as an inability to live in a democratic society, and things are not great there now. But I think 20 years from now, Iraq could be a democracy, and there would be great gratitude that the United States came in and got rid of a dictator. That view is not shared completely in our household, though.
Here's Dave's wife, Mary Lisa Pinilla.
I didn't agree with the invasion of Iraq, and I actually had never written a letter to the president before, but this gave me opportunity to do that. How could this sort of action bring about peace? And now we continue to be there with bloodshed every day. It's beyond me.
Mary Lisa, who's a public health nurse, does have some sympathy for President Bush, especially in light of the recent headlines being made by the 9/11 Commission. She and most of the others here don't like all the finger-pointing.
The thing that I'm struck by is it seems to be reported in the press. The question that seems to be framed is, was it his fault or wasn't it? And it seems to me that that's the wrong question. But we shouldn't be looking to pin the blame on one person. We shouldn't be looking to say, was the president asleep at the watch or not? That's not the question. The question is, why did this happen in the first place? And if we spent more time looking at why this happened, I think it would give us more insight into how we can go about really creating an environment, a world community that doesn't accept, tolerate, or foster that kind of violence.
These friends disagree on whether the Bush administration's policies are reducing the threat of terrorism in the United States and the world. Butler Miller's family runs a barge service on the Mississippi.
I would say the world is not safer. I work in the transportation industry where a lot of goods come in through the port of New Orleans. Their security measures are fences and lights. Our barges move ammonium nitrate,
bomb maker.
Yeah, we move it 1,600 tons at a time. It only took 40 tons from Bay.
That's Timothy McVeigh, the Oklahoma City bomber. But while terrorism may be a concern, it's less so in St. Louis, says Dave Drebus.
I don't feel safer, but I never, you know, that's the beauty of living in St. Louis.
Nobody knows what it is. They can't fight this.
In a room full of community activists, most of whom voted for Ralph Nader last time around, it's interesting that the economy did not seem to be a front burner issue. That might be seen as a bad sign for John Kerry, But most of these St. Louis 30-somethings, including Brian Marston, say they'll vote for Kerry this time around.
I think the most important thing about John Kerry is that he's electable. You look at him and you say, this is a guy who could be president. You can imagine that happening. And I think that's really important for folks in the anybody but Bush camp. That, you know, the last election I voted for Nader, I'm not going to make that mistake again.
President Bush gets only one of the seven votes here, with a chance to pick up one undecided. John Idsty, NPR News, St. Louis.
Tomorrow, Missouri farmers in one of the state's fastest growing regions talk about politics and the economy.